Jordan, welcome someone this morning. Glory to his name forever. We're in for the time of our lives because of his faithfulness. We're looking at taking of the limits, and we are setting our hearts to prepare to set goals for this year. And if you've not set a goal, it's time to set a goal of faith. A goal of faith, because God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we want, ask or think, according to the power which already worketh. See, God's power is on standby, waiting for me to think, waiting for me to ask. And as I think and I ask, the power of God will accomplish all my desires and beyond my desires this season. Glory to his name forever. All right, let's start from Romans chapter 15 this morning. It's important that you and I, we hit the ground running. It's already the month of February. And if you don't have goals, it's not a surprising thing if nothing much is accomplished by the end of the year. And taking us on an adventure, both through our Sunday services and then midweek services, and then our morning exhortations are also geared towards encouraging our faith, stirring hope, and making us have a supernatural expectation. If God says we're in a season of supernatural adventures, you have to have an expectation on the inside of you. And it's so important. I want to admonish us to listen to the teaching last Wednesday. Oh my goodness. How many of you listen online, watch online? Were you blessed? Oh, you need to listen to that teaching. It will give you content, substance, things to do, because it just concretizes many things we've been trying to say. So listen to the teaching, go back, watch the video, and thank God we do that on Wednesdays now. It will help you to put your thoughts together so you can actually have what you call an action plan concerning this year and the steps you are meant to take, because many of us just think the working of God's power is magic. It's not magic. There are action steps that you and I are meant to take that will help us maximize God's power in our lives. Alright, Romans chapter 15. I'm going to read from verse 4. It says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Romans chapter 15 from verse 1. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, that's ahead of time, okay, were written for our learning. So they were recorded and they were stated and they were presented for one purpose in particular. It is for learning. That's what doctrine. That is where you get study from. In other words, the study of God is in those things which are written ahead of time. So we've always said that the Old Testament, well, funny enough, the Bible doesn't call Genesis Malachi the Old Testament. That's a coinage that was given to you by translators. The Genesis of Malachi, Jesus called it the Word of God. Amen? So Genesis of Malachi is the Word of God. There will have been nothing for Jesus to fulfill the Genesis of Malachi. So Genesis of Malachi is crucial. There's nothing to interpret if there's no Genesis of Malachi. With the epistles are an interpretation of Genesis of Malachi. The four Gospels is Jesus teaching from Genesis of Malachi so they could see what he was about to fulfill, what to bring to pass. So it says the things which are written aforetime, that's not the epistles. It's talking about Genesis to Malachi. It's called the Word of God. It said they were written for our learning, that we through patience. So there is a consistent pattern you'll find in what is written. The word patience means that which is consistent, which doesn't fail. There's a consistent pattern you'll find through what is written, that we through that patience we see in the scriptures, which is the patience of God, and comfort of the scriptures, might have a supernatural expectation. A supernatural expectation. So when I go through the scriptures, it's meant to produce a supernatural expectation. And what produces that expectation is the hope I see in the scriptures. Sorry, the comfort I see in the scriptures and the patience. Now, that patience is a consistent dealing and working of God that cuts across Genesis to Malachi. In other words, there is you saying, I know God never changes. There's you experiencing and knowing God never changes. There are two different things. If he has delivered, he will deliver. Say amen. If he has delivered before. So, in other words, the deliverance, the saving power of God is not happenstance. It's not a coincidence. It's not that he came through for you. You see, part of the challenge we have is that your experiences with God sometimes may not give you hope. You don't know what happened. You dotted the I's as far as you know. You crossed the T's. But you may not know what really happened. So you are not to lean strictly on your experiences. The Bible says certain things were written for you to learn. And I said something last week. I said the scriptures, particularly the prophecies, is a believer's future written as a history. the prophets of the scriptures, they are your future written as a history. So you already have a history in God before you came on the scene. And that history is meant to give you hope. There's a consistency. The word comfort here doesn't just mean somebody's trying to make you feel good. The word comfort means something you carry along with you that stands to you with you to reassure you the results will be the same. The outcome will be the same. The same God overall is rich unto all that what? Call upon him. He's consistent. Now, again, your experience may not necessarily always line up. So there's something stronger than experiences. It's called what was written ahead of time. Go with me to the same book of Romans. Look at Romans. Look at chapter 1. And from verse 1. Romans 1 verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, notice, which he had promised afore. Now the word afore there, and written ahead of time, they mean the same thing. Which he has promised, okay, afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So again, last week I explained to us, there are two fundamental meanings behind the word promise. The word promise speaks about what you call something that is post-dated. I give you a check and I tell you on the 1st of March, this check will be cashable. So it is dated. It has what you call a time frame for manifestation. Then there is the second one, which is the one that Paul is talking about here. That one speaks about a personal commitment in my word to fulfill it in your life. A personal commitment. So I go to the scriptures. I see what is a promise. A promise there is a personal commitment. It doesn't have a time frame. It simply means this is how God will show up in your life in this given situation if you stand upon the word. For instance, Psalm 91. Look at Psalm 91. And let's read from verse 10. It's important. Psalm 91 verse 10. Surely. Hallelujah. Is that in your Bible? Is any English word stronger than surely? Surely. He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome business. Now, maybe you may not understand the poetic language the writer of the book of Psalms is using, because you need to understand what the snare of fowler is. How many of you know what the fowler is? Okay, let's have that in. Do you have that in Amplified so that we can maybe clear? So you understand what he's trying to say. Then he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the, it doesn't make it better. And from the deadly pestilence. But now, deadly pestilence is what you call epidemic, like COVID. That's more than that's pandemic, isn't it? That's worldwide. Now, so notice, it will keep you safe from all hidden dangers and from all deadly diseases. Now, usually, fundamentally, a fowler is somebody who sets traps for birds. Now, what they do is that they put in the snare what the bird will like. In other words, the area of your weakness, God says, I will deliver you. I will be there for you. In other words, you missed it, you messed up. It doesn't mean I won't come through. I will still come through. You know, some believers, they give up the ministry that I brought this upon myself. It doesn't matter, you have a caring father. After you have warned your children not to go near a particular thing and they mess up, what do? You may rebuke them on the spot, but what do? You cover them, you comfort them, you encourage them. Sometimes you be there, will you take biscuit? You want chocolate? What are you trying to do? Trying to make the child feel better. In other words, you don't abandon the child to watch out the child. How many of you understand? Now, so it will deliver you. Go back to King James, please. Now, surely means without a shadow of doubt. He will deliver you from the snare of fowler and from that which is general. It is going everywhere. It's smallpox. It's but like, amen. Even that which is general, not specific to you, I will still come true for you. Look at the next verse. It's a promise. He will cover you with his feathers and under his wings you will trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid. Say, I will not be afraid. Tell your neighbor, I will not be afraid. For the terror by night. Not for the arrow that flies by day. What does it say next? Not for the pestilence that walks in darkness, destruction that wastes a new day. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 on your right hand, but it shall not. Say it shall not. Say it shall not. It shall not come nigh thee. Only with your eyes will you behold and see the reward of. So where is the wicked in this instance? Those who are not taking covering under the shadow of his feathers. It's called them the wicked. They are walking their own path. Well, let's read on. It says, because you have made the Lord, can you see it now? Who is my refuge? Even the Most High, he has become your dwelling place. Now look on it. There shall no evil. Oh, praise God. There shall no evil. Say, there shall no evil. Before thee, neither shall any plague come near their dwelling place. Now listen carefully. Every utterance from God is a contractual agreement. It takes two sides. It is God's word is potent on its own, but when you receive it, it flourishes in your heart and in your life. Now notice, there shall no evil befall. Listen carefully what I'm about to say. When something that resembles evil is coming, and you stand on, there shall no evil come, it will turn out for good. You see, it has been spoken already. It's a law in the universe. That means that because God's word can never fall to the ground and not come to pass, the minute you take your stand, when it appears there is evil, every appearance of evil works out for good. That's what God does. But you know, when evil tries to come, most of the time, we throw up hands in defeat and then we crucify or forsake God's mercy in the utterances that we make at that point in time. Let me say this to you, brothers and sisters. Whenever you are emotionally high, either with joy or with sorrow, the utterances you make at that instance, they are very strong. When you are angry, your utterances are strong. When you are glad, your utterances are strong. That's why you ought to be careful, because there's like a power verb regulating what you say. Because what you're saying in those instances, you mean them. They are driven by emotions, but they are words that are potent and have the ability to either do you good or make things go wrong. Very important. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling place. For he shall give. Say, he has given his angels charge over now. Why does he shall give? Futuristic. When that situation arises, this is where the scripture will come to pass. He will give his angels charge over thee to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands. You will not stumble. That's what it means to touch your feet in you. You will not stumble. You will not miss it. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon you trample under feet, the works of darkness. Because you have set your love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known. Do you know his name? Are you familiar with his name? Are you living in his name? He shall call upon me. Is this a promise? This is a promise. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. Who are you calling upon? The one whose name you know. What is his name? His reputation as one who doesn't fail. He always comes true. He always comes forth. He never comes late. He comes exactly on time. He shall call upon me. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I had a terrible testimony. When I say terrible, I hope you know that the Bible uses the word terrible to describe the works of God in the scriptures. Oh yeah, Psalm 65. Now, you will do terrible things in righteousness. She was clean. A woman was serving faithfully. And that's why, listen carefully, I don't want to deceive you. Serving in God's house is for your benefit. It's not for your pastor's benefit. He's doing his own. If you are not, you're robbing yourself for future reward. I'm telling you. The first person raised in the book of Acts was raised by an apostle because the church people refused to bury her because of the good works they saw in her life. Instead of calling for the other guy, they called for Apostle Peter. And before he could minister to her, they began to regale him with stories of how good she was, how she was made. In other words, she's better alive than dead. She's not a seat warmer. She's functioning in God's house. And when they called Peter, Peter put them out and did exactly what he was. That means the church made a demand on the power of God. And Peter was a vehicle and she was brought back to life. This woman was cleaning the restrooms of a local assembly. She had done it for years. I think it took her a while to conceive. By the time she finally conceived, she carried the child. So one day when she was backing her child and cleaning restrooms, she heard a voice and she knew it was God speaking. He said, I want to assure you because you have been faithful. Anytime you need me, come up for me here and I will answer you. Years later, the boy went to school, graduated, did very well. He was close to his wedding. Something happened, he fell and died. They called the woman, the only child, they called the woman. When they called her, they said her to be crying. She wasn't crying. They said, the body is already in the mug. We're about to bury him. I said, no problem. Can you take me to where the body is? Because there's no way they will understand what she wanted to do. She told them, I just want to view him one last time. That was the best way to explain to them. She went to the mug. They thought she was mad. And there are workings of God that God will show forth in your life this year. It will amaze, it will astound, it will shake everything around you. Everyone that knows you will know God is alive and God is well. Christianity is not a religion, it's a way of life. It is God living through men. We have to honestly contend for the miraculous. Your life should not be normal. You have been brought out of normalcy to a supernormalcy in Christ Jesus. So he went to the morgue, opened the place where he was kept, and she did something to a full-grown man, dead, removed the child from the morgue and strapped the child to her back and went to the restroom of that same church. You told me, you said, when God wants to change your life, he will give you a hearing of faith that people around you did not hear. It's not a commitment to everybody, it's a commitment to you. He told you that when you need me, call upon me here, I will answer you. You said so. It's called the hearing of faith. It was God making a personal commitment. Everybody ran when he first saw her. What is this? What's going on? Because she was losing her mind. She dragged the child to the restroom. So you said, I should call upon you. Look at what has happened. Wake the child up. The child sneezed and coughed and came back to life. Because he cannot fail. He has never been known to fail. I don't care about your experience. He has never been known to fail. He always comes true. Hallelujah. He shall call upon me. I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble. Look at what I will be. Italicized. It is I with him in trouble. Say, God is always with me. It doesn't matter the storm or the circumstance or the difficulty. Jesus is always with me. He said to me, by your day, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you will always be able to boldly say, I am your helper. You will not be afraid of whatever man can do unto you. He said, when I deliver, I will honor. And that's the minute I reached around the last week. When I deliver, I will bring what? Honor. So in my delivering you, honor will accompany it. I won't just deliver you. I won't just bring Joseph out of the prison like an ordinary man. I'll make him prime minister. That's the kind of deliverance God organizes. When Daniel came out of the lion's den, it was not to the previous position. It was to a position that was the highest in the land. In fact, they were commanded, everybody must worship the God of Daniel. For there's no God that can deliver in this manner. I will deliver him, and when I do, it will be one honor. Why? He has known my name. Say, I know his name. Say, I know his name. So, the promise here is a personal commitment on God's part to fulfill what he has said to you, particularly in the scriptures. The scriptures were written for our learning. That means we learn. We see what God does. We see how God acts. We see his actions. We see the testimony, his track record. We see the footprint of God throughout the life of the patriarchs. We learn the ways of God. And then something happens, we are supernaturally comforted when we see the consistency of God in the scriptures. And that is how we set the limits of the boundaries of what we expect in every situation. Listen, it is not an inability of God's part in any situation. It's usually the boundaries that we have established in our consciousness. That's what the challenge is. In other words, until you can see beyond what is the limitation now, God can do so much for you. Listen, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above. Or you can what? Ask or think according to the power that worketh where. So there's an asking or thinking that regulates, listen carefully, how much of the power is released. Power has been worked. Power is on standby in a believer's life. So there's nothing a believer can do or believe beyond the power at work. There's a power at work. It's describing the same power described in Ephesians 1. So the goal for what the power will do is set within. That's why Paul says, for this cause, I bow on my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That's talking about believers. We're called by that name, by his name. And though we are on earth, we're also in heaven. That's what he's saying. That he will grant you to be strengthened by his spirit in the inner man. That is, according to the Jesus' glory, you will be strengthened by spirit in your inner man. That center where decisions are made, that center where you used to believe, that place where you visualize all you are trusting God for, that in that strengthening, you'll be able to comprehend with all saints the dimensions, which is breadth and length, height and depth. So comprehension means you come to a full realization and persuasion. This is the dimension, or this is the extent to which God will go in every given situation. Hallelujah. Listen carefully. When God comes to you to speak to you in your private worship or devotion life, all he's extending to you is still part of what he has said before in his word. The reason why he's telling you personally is to, so to speak, tailor it to your specific situation. Because by the hearing of faith, God changes the goalposts in our minds. By the hearing of faith, it changes your expectations. It changes what the boundaries are, where the limitations are. It just, by whispering to your heart, it changes it. And you know Jesus said something in that temptation in Matthew chapter 4 verse 4. He said, man shall not live by one bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. So, in the place of devotion, one of the things you are longing for, you are looking out for, because this is a year of personal devotion. It says overflow. Overflow means God will give instructions. Two things will strengthen you. What he said verbally and what he has said in his written word. That's where strength comes from. What he will say to you verbally in devotion and what he has said in his written word. Now, what he has said in his written word does not change. What he will say is usually tailored fit to your situation. And it doesn't contradict what is written. Hallelujah. Now here's the issue. Listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Many times, even though it is written, in the place of devotion, God will still personally come to you to confirm by speaking to you. We exhorted this morning from Joshua chapter 1. Look at Joshua chapter 1 from verse 1. Because this year is a year of mighty doings. It's a year of mighty works. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God said something last Sunday. He said, five times more. Say there's five times more. Say there's five times more waiting for me. You see, I always say, why can't you believe a man of God, this was years ago, I think it was Dr. Jesse Duplantis, said one morning he was trusting God and he was like, at that stage of ministry, there was a boundary to which he could believe God. He couldn't believe beyond a particular man. So he said, Lord, I really, really need, as of this morning, $20,000 to meet ministry needs. Now, sometimes, like I said, your mind can become a barrier or a filter, one of the two. He said, he was expecting, listen carefully, that he will need to pray long and persuade God. So, when God interrupts your prayer and says, it's done, you're like, ah, no, it's not like that now. Who are you talking to? The one who's able to do exceeding abundantly. And you are even telling him, you know the problem. You know when he say, it's not like that. Now he's like, just like that. No. What I'm actually asking for is $20,000. You know what you are telling God? That $20,000 is big for you. You're not trying to persuade God that. Isn't that also big for you? And God's looking at you. So he was one unmerited experience. He said, when he was a bit, just like I said, I wonder, it's a horrible asking me for $30 million this morning. And I gave it to him. Say, hey? Now, you can't change your prayer and ask for $30 million. You know why? You don't have faith for $30 million. You are struggling with 20,000. I hope you understand. So, you can't jump class. You can't. If you are in primary 4, and they take you to SS1, even the last person in SS1 will know, they're not supposed to be here. What they did in SS1 is too much for a child that is supposed to be in primary 4. I hope you know. So, there is what you call graduation in your understanding and revelation of how much God is willing to do based on your study of God's word. Listen carefully and what God has spoken to you in your work with Him. He said, 20,000. All of us asked me for 30 million this morning, and I gave him 30 million this morning. You know what 30 million means? It means before the end of the day, giving and gifts will come in that will cover that amount. And the challenge is this, as far as your eyes can see. Now, what God does is to help your eyes to what? To see. Because the challenge is not the power. The challenge is, what can your eye see? What can your eye see? If the highest salary you have ever collected in your entire life is 300,000, if you go for an interview and they say they are going to pay 3 million, you say, is that for a year? No, this is it. He says, sir, is that the annual? If one fights, that cannot be annual package because you've collected 300,000 per month. And 300,000 annual package should be how much? 3.6. So let's say 3 million. He says, is that for a year? What's that? And the person is like, oh, it's not enough. Or did they tell you, no, that's monthly. Then,
You lose your voice. You cannot talk again. And then the thing that maybe you are confused, I say, are you okay? You need water. I need more than water at this stage. You are about to argue. You know why? Because you are, why did you think it was for a year? That is the gauge in your mind that God wants to shift. Has he done it before? Yes. Can he do it again? Yes. Where's the barrier? Your mind. Sometimes what you are holding on to is so far below what he has prepared for you. The challenge is your mind. That's what the challenge is. So he uses his word, both the written and the spoken, to expand your consciousness. That's what he does. So you can think. I'm not talking about carnal thinking. When you saw somebody achieve somebody, you know, say, I'm going to do that. That is one side. That's what we're talking about. I'm talking about the knowledge of scriptures, the revelation, that is, God opened your hand and say, this thing you're earning now, we can do 5 times more than this. How many already are ready for 5 times more? It's possible. Now, after the death of Moses, servant of the Lord, a feast has ended. It came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, God spoke. There's written, what Moses has written. This is God speaking personally to Joshua. Because Joshua is going to fulfill what God spoke to Moses about. And God still came to Joshua, even though Joshua was a student of all that Moses had written. So there's the written part, there's a spoken part. Both of them come together for you to see the terrible works of God in your life. Both of them come together. Now, look at the next verse. See what it says. Moses, my servant, is what? That's, he said with the tone of finality. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, what? Arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto land which I do give to them. Notice language. I have given the land. You are to arise, you are to go. So, God's part, I have given. Man's part, go. Now, here's the way God speaks. And this is what we need to understand. God saying go does not mean there will not be opposition. That's why we have a problem. It doesn't mean there will not be opposition. There was a word that came for, I think, during a Holy Ghost meeting some years back to a particular couple in church. And some things that we see by prophecy, actually things that we see, but we not tell you that we see. We just give you the word. That is, it's not necessary for you to say that we are God show me. It's not prophesy papa. No, we don't do that kind of thing here. So, but we'll just tell you what you need to know there, because it's not necessary. I hope you understand. It's not something not necessary. So now, just tell the person, give the person word that the have been approved, and you follow me. I can be a bit. There can be a lot of brevity in the things I say. The visa has been approved. If you want me to tell you everything, this process, you'll be surprised. So I'll just tell you the short version. Okay, so now, when they got to the embassy, she was telling me how the drama played out. He said, she was lying up. He doesn't know where that person woke up, whether the wrong side of the bed. Everybody that came to that person was just denied. How can you know something like that? That demon is sitting on their shoulder and whispering to them, dancing, skilling on their back. You don't know. You don't know that. That's a bit afraid. They just used your life for you like to play Scrabble. Demon is sitting on front of you that you are there. He said, she just kept confessing. It has been approved. It has been approved. What will it take for that word to be fulfilled? That's the question. Does God know? Yes. Did God say, when you meet the person, just be smiling? He didn't give you that guarantee. He just said, this has been what? Approved. It doesn't mean there won't be opposition. So he said, when he was about their turn, and everybody, 6 people have gone, everybody has been what? Denied. When was their turn? He looked at the time. It was not yet lunchtime. The person just got up. I'm going for lunch now. Somebody else replaced them, and the person just approved this. That means if God needs to move the person from their seat, he will do it. Because his word cannot return to him void. It cannot return to him void. That's the way it works. Now, God is telling Joshua now, personal instruction. Arise, go over this Jordan. That means you're going to meet opposition. In fact, arise, go over this Jordan is an instruction to face opposition, because Jordan at that time was overflowing his banks. You know what it means overflow? It means you cannot cross naturally. It will have to be a miracle. Did God know Jordan was overflowing? That means he was season of harvest. God knew. And he said, go over this Jordan. Unto the language I do give to them, even to children of Israel. Next verse. See what this is. Every place. So if you don't go, that's the problem. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I what? Given unto you, as I said, unto Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all land of the Hittites, unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand, but there will be men. You will face men. You will fight. You see, Joshua's generation is different from Moses' generation in the sense that Moses' generation, the people had never faced war before. So, Exodus 13, for instance, says that God took them by a long route. Even though there was a shorter route by the Philistines, he says, lest the people see war and they turn back to Egypt. So, God knows what you are prepared to face. Because again, he didn't say you will not face opposition. What he said was that in the world you'll have tribulation. In me you'll have what? Peace. Be of good cheer. I have what? Overcome the world. I want to raise an assembly of intelligent Christians who know how to respond to situations on the authority of God's word. Where they will sack you, shout for joy. Thank you for that glory. Is somebody again? Sack and shout. Are they good together? No, you don't understand. They cannot sack you from destiny. They can only take a position by giving, because it is God that places men in positions. I hope you understand. You need to have an intelligent response on your toy. Your life needs to be ordered by scripture. So you know, nobody can take work from you. They can only take a job from you. Nobody can take work from you. It's a job they can take. They can't take work from you. You need to understand that. So yeah, you'll be bold this year. Because again, when the manifestation starts, it won't look like what you are looking for. It will start out looking negative. He said, go over to this land. And God said, no man shall be able to stand. Obviously, they will try to stand. But they will not prevail. That's what he's telling you. Because your faith has been tested in Christ Jesus. You've gotten a pass back. Now get a pass back by experience. That's what God is saying. Say amen. People, I know you are so happy about this part. That they didn't tell us so. No, the war has been won, but there are battles to fight. Did you hear what I said? The war has been won, but there are what? Battles. That means you stand your ground how? In faith. I've given the land. Arise, begin to contend in battle, but I've given the land. I've given means I'm backing you up. Every opposition you face, they will crumble before you. They cheated you out of a particular promotion. I've seen that happen. I've shared with you testimony more than once for blind individual. He was going to sue the company because he knew it was a racial issue. But God said, hold your peace, I will fight for you. When the offer came, and when God moves, like I said, the way God will move, you ask yourself, why was I trying to hold on to this month? Is this what I was trying to hold on to? When God has something far better in mind. That's what usually happens when God is moving. Glory to God. That's what usually happens. See, Joseph appealed to the butler. When you get to the palace, remember me. The butler forgot him according to God's plan. If you're serving God, his ways are not your ways. It's not your time. It's not because God likes you to stay in prison or prison garment is sweet. No. Because there's a timing. There's a wisdom in God. Until it was time for Pharaoh to dream. So you know the finger of God. You cannot give anybody a dream, much less interpretation. How will you make Pharaoh to dream? Only God can do that. Who will have interpretation? Only God has interpretation. Who will not suddenly make the man that forgot to remember? Only God will do it also. So that when Joseph is coming out of prison, it will be as an ordinary man. It will be as the second most honorable man in the land. Only God does such things. Now, why was this written? So you can have an expectation. That was why. So, when they cheat you at work, and you know you were cheated, what should you do? Lift up your hands to God in praise and thank him for the greater thing he has what? In mind for you. Instead of fighting men, don't you have a God? Is your God not alive? Is your God not alive? Let me show you something, Psalm 37. Since we're looking at something that promises. I read the book of Psalms. Do you read the book of Psalms? Some of you are looking. I'm not talking about the one that used to kill your enemy. Even the person that wrote it is amazed. And all people are using the book of Psalms to do. Verse 32. Psalm 37, verse 32. Oh. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to what? Slay him. Look at the next verse. Mark it in your Bible. Put marker. the Lord will not leave him where? In his hand. Nor condemn him when he's what? Judged. Wait on the Lord and do what? Keep his way. He shall exalt thee to what? In every land. When the wicked are cut off, what will happen? You will see it all. So, do wicked men cheat and rob us of what belongs to us? Yes. Will God allow you to go on? No. It is written here. This is written. Say it is written. Say it is written. Say this is the judgment that's written. He said, God will not leave the righteous man in his hand. He will not. Look at 31. Look at verse 31. Let's read verse 31. Look at the law. That the mouth of the righteous speaks what? Wisdom. And his tongue talks of what? What is wisdom and judgment? The word of God. That's what's upon him. What will be the outcome of that exercise? Look at next verse. The law of his God is where? In his heart. None of his steps shall what? Slide. The word slide may be a little bit. So let's look at it in the contemporary version. Let me have Good News Translation. See what it says. They keep the law of their God where in their hearts, and they never depart from it. Amplified. The law of his God is in his heart. Not of his steps shall what? Slide. Do you have TP? The Passion Translation? What other translation do you have? NLT. Okay, let's look at NLT. They have made God's law, hallelujah, their own. So they will never slip from where? From his path. Then following that, is those ones we just read. The wicked is watching. He doesn't know there's a law at work. So when he attacks, the law will work. It will work for the believer. The outcome will be sure. The end will be certain. Hallelujah. So you can never be successfully cheated. It will appear as though you are, but promotion is being packaged for you. Oh, you need to understand this. When you say we don't do it for that, you don't pray for enemies to die. You don't need to actually. If you are walking law of God, that law is designed such a way you can never be successfully robbed of what belongs to you. That's what the Bible says. This is a promise. This is what God said. Let's keep reading NLT. Let me read the different. Look at the next thing. TPH. The ways of God are in their heart. They won't stray from the path of steadfast word righteousness. Read the next verse in the same TPH. Evil ones found the godly ones, stalking them to find something they could use to accuse them. They are hard for the kill. This is serious. But God, will foil all their plots. The godly will not stand condemned when brought to what? Trial. He will not stand condemned. It's not possible. The godly will not stand condemned when brought to what? Trial. I heard years ago that they framed and cooked up stories against the archbishop. And was by certain leaders in the church. And was charged to court. And was serious. There was possible an indictment. They were going to deliver judgment that day. Some people died under the ministry. And they held him responsible. And they lied. They were in court. So when it was time to admit evidence, well, my wife said, I have to be careful so that whether this is admissible in court. But something happened. They were allowed to play the recording of his ordination as evidence that he's a man of God and he was called. And when they played it, the glory of God filled the courthouse. The matter was thrown out. How will you think that way of deliverance? You can't think it. If your natural mind cannot think that way of escape. The same way when they got before the Red Sea, God that said, deliver them, knew there will be Red Sea, knew the enemy will come after. So when they looked before and they looked behind, there was nowhere to go. They had to look where? Up. And God says, that same water you are seeing, step inside and see what happens. I want to show you how miracles are worked. And they parted the sea and they walked on. Nobody has ever walked on dry ground before. On the sea. I don't know, maybe you visualize miracles when you think about such things. You know what it means to walk on dry ground? 3 million people, stiff naked, according to Moses. And you are walking. You look here, water. You look here, water. And the water is not crashing. And you walked how long? All night before they could cross through. All night. That God was saying that we don't need to kill any. Just let me show you a technology that there's no vehicle upon there that can produce it now. Let's just make a dry land appear in the midst of the sea. And God did so. He caused water to come out of the rock. Just because he wanted to fulfill his word that I'm big enough to take care of you. I'm strong enough. In my meditations, that's how I think. When it was time for Elijah to be fed in famine, God sent a raven. How many of you know what a raven is? Okay. How many of you know it's most selfish bird? Okay. So, you know, if you think that maybe the bird stole meat and brought it for you, not raven. He is wicked to his own offspring. That is the bird. He didn't pick pigeon, you know. You are used preaching or God deliberately chose raven to be bringing meat twice a day, so that you will know it is a constant miracle, because raven is selfish even to his own offspring. Now the raven is bringing meat for a man. God is humorous. You know, some people, when God is working, they're sitting thinking, oh, maybe it's a coincidence. Maybe it's a, which coincidence? That's how enemy sometimes robs us of the blessing that we have and miracles. It's not a coincidence. There are miracles for you this year. Outstanding miracles. Mighty works will manifest in your direction. In the name of the Lord Jesus. It's all about the power of God. As you find it written in the scriptures, the promises, God's personal commitment. Do you have those scriptures? Go back to Joshua chapter 1. Let's go back in King James. Let's hurry so I can round up. Praise God. Shall not any man be able to stand before the ordinance of your life? As I was with Moses, will I be with thee? And I will not fail thee, nor what? Forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto these people shall you divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only, can you see the repetition? Only be thou strong and of a good courage, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from me to the right hand or to the what? Left. That thou mayest prosper whithersoever goest. What does it mean to prosper? To have good results. To excel. To express my power to the full. Now listen carefully. God is saying there is no lack of ability on my part. To be strong, to be of good courage means that do my word no matter how you feel. Do the word. Let my written word encourage you. My written response in situations acts that way even when you don't feel like it. That's what he's saying. Only be down strong, very courageous, that you yourself to do. So today now, if I'm asking you to observe to do, or according to what the law, I will say things like, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and what? Supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be known unto. So I will say, did you hear bad news? I will say, don't be anxious. Have no anxiety, don't fret. How do you know you are fretting? In how you act and in what you say. I will say, rejoice. Again, I say unto you what? Rejoice. What are you doing? I'm asking you to do according to all that is written. In other words, there are written instructions about what you ought to do in a given situation. That's why we always say, Holy Ghost meeting. We receive instant miracles. But Holy Ghost meeting is meant to set you on a particular course. So that even when you leave church, there's a lifestyle you are living. January has ended. The glory has not come to an end. The power is still working. So there's still meant to be a dance in your house. There's meant to be a laughter at your place of work. There's meant to be a shout in the marketplace. Are you with me this morning? The problems that we leave those things once those pieces are over. No! Your life is a continuous meeting in God. God is saying, see, I'm committed. As for my part, I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. But only be strong at what? Courage. What is courage? Acting on my word. We taught this morning. Acting. Be courageous. Oh, brothers and sisters. It takes courage to laugh in a bustle. It does. It takes courage to say, glory to God. When they tell you that one of the engine of the airplane has failed. I heard Dr. David who said that he had some turbulence and he called the pilot. What's the matter? He said that one of the engines have failed. So he said, no problem. Return back to base. The ministers, I said, I didn't tell them anything, no, because their fear can bring the aircraft down. So what did I tell them? Would you like to have soft snacks? That's what you said. Because if you tell them that the same engine has failed, the panic is enough to bring down the airplane, even to stop the other engine from working. Because fear is pregnant in the realm of the spirit. Fear is substance of things not hoped for. I hope you know what I said. Fear is substance of things you are not hoping for. You are not hoping for it. Why are you thinking that way? And it shows now our chances. It's like unemployment scale now is very high. No, you are an employer of labor. Don't you understand? The statistics are good. God wants you to say that these are the statistics. Look at it, then ignore it and move beyond it. That's God's plan. Only be thou strong and very one courageous, that you may observe to do according to what the law. Today, what is the law? When you see the enemy come, what does the Bible say? The Lord is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in a time of need. Be be still and know I am God. I will be what? Exalted among the heathen. Though the mountains shake and the storm is thereof, and the mountain can't move the sea, there is a river that makes glad the city of God, Psalm 46. The only place of the tabernacles of Moses, God is in the midst of that river. Say, God is in me now. That's what it says. It doesn't matter what the bad news is. Oh, it doesn't matter what it is. We have hope in God at all times. I'm not forgetting that situation. Oh, my wife and I, the prognosis we have received. I was teasing my daughter this morning. Because when she was conceived, the prognosis we received was not good. We were told that she may not be able to give birth to that child. It was a serious time. A prognosis that, meanwhile, God had revealed to me 2 years before we got married. Your first child is going to come by the word. Interpret it the way you want to interpret it. Later, it's God that it was means get ready to fight. The fight of what? Faith. That means God says, I'm for you. I'll stand with you. She fought, I fought. At 10.5 months, she broke her leg. The thigh bone. The strongest bone in the body. I mean, we took her to a consultant. The consultant was, you know, when a consultant loses her cool, she's a professor of pediatrics, she just lost her cool. She was talking about, sir, we are going to Sue. I was thinking, Sue, this, we are not talking about Sue now. This girl, if something, we did x-ray. We saw a clean fracture. I was teasing her this morning. I said, see, you're just looking blink. One brother will just come like that, wearing skinny jeans. So I was asking, my guy, Sholo. You were just laughing. That is, it's true. You have money to spend on your own. Oh, that's the same person as me, taller than me. And the proposal was that she may never walk again. 10.5 months. The decision was made in a period of 45 minutes. We were driving from the consultant's place to Ruby Orthopedic Hospital. We had the choice to cry. Why should this happen to us, first child? Or to lift up our voice to the Father. Father, thank you. You said you will never leave us nor forsake us. You said when we call, you will answer. And then you show us great and mighty things that we know not. That's what we did in the car. When we leave God, it will come true for you. When you call, he will answer. Did he tell you it's impossible? I have news for you. That is the specialty. When he says it's impossible, just stand up. Doctor said, why are you laughing? I know somebody who specializes in that, what you just said. Now, did you say it's impossible? Thank God it's impossible. With man it's impossible, but with God, nothing shall be what? Impossible. The question is, what do you want? Conception. A woman at 90 gave birth. It is written for your learning. A man whose body was dead at 99 brought forth a child. It is written for your learning. The power that brought Isaac was so strong, he brought other children after Isaac. How do you know? Then was Isaac go? Go and count. Read Genesis. After Isaac came, that part just stopped working. Other children came. That's how strong the power was. And then Kenneth Copeland spoke about the father. He was losing his hair. His hair was falling out. He said, God, this should not be. He said, God, stand upon my word. I'm committed to fulfill my word. Stand upon my word. I will renew your wicked angels. He said he was asking about his hair. When the power of God began to work, all the hair he lost. You know, some of us, you're a lady here. You think God is not concerned about those things? No, he's as concerned as you are, if you are concerned. Now, if you are not concerned, it's fine. But if you are concerned enough to ask him, he said the ear was losing. Not only grew back, a toenail had been removed years before. He didn't pray about that one. The power that brought the ear back grew the toenail out. This is our God. This is our God. What boundaries and limitations have you set? It's a new season for you. I will show you great and mighty things. One of the things I've learned in my walk with God is this. Even if I'm trusting God for funds, I don't have people in mind. At don't have faces. Because you know what? God delights in using avenues you are not thinking of to show off. So I won't put God in a box. He doesn't have to. Somebody I had not spoken to in 10 years called from Australia 2 years ago. How did you trace me? On Facebook. In inbox. Sir, drop your candidates. I was saying, Pastor, I said, I've not heard from you in 10 years. God does things like that. And send money to my account. And God was saying, I was sitting and he said, I just wanted to show you that. I'm not limited. I can wake somebody up in Canada. I can wake somebody in Indonesia. I can. Why are you limited? You are looking at this economy. You are looking around you. And these days, people don't really have money. Who told you people don't have money? There's money everywhere. I said, there's money everywhere. All it takes is for God to whisper to somebody on your behalf. Be a magnet for the power of God. Be a living magnet for the power of God. Let your life be a demonstration of God's faithfulness in your day. You hold God that. You hold humanity that. Don't live an ordinary life. You have a father that cares. There's some of us that are fathers. As much as we don't want to spoil our children, if there's anything that they need that make it, it's what you will do it for them. How many of you know what I'm talking about? The ones you cannot do, you're not happy you can't do it yet. You wish you could do it for them. Anything you want to do. And your father is limitless in provision, in supply, resources. Why didn't you ask him? What will help you ask him? Look at what he told Joshua. Because you need to see this. God is not saying, I need you to know, you need to wind me up, wind me up, wind me up. He said, no. Joshua, when I want to bring my power to pass, listen carefully, when I want to manifest my power, you will face situations that will make you lose strength. I want you to be bold. I want you to be strengthened on the inside. So that when you see them, what you will see, instead of limitation, is my power to pull you through. That what means to be strong and very what? Correct. He kept repeating it. He said it 3 times. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Look at verse 9. Verse 8 to 1. Have I not commanded you? Look at the petition. Be strong and what? How many times did God say something for you to know that? The issue is you. Joshua, I know you saw the Red Sea part. You are going to face the River Jordan. I'm not going to use the same way I did for Red Sea. It's a different strategy. What will you do? Because Joshua had studied what happened with Moses. When God was not going to give him instructions, what does it mean to be courageous? When God speaks, so you can act. You are leading the nation and God is telling you, instead of parting before they go in, tell the priest to carry the ark. Let them step their feet in. That means they can carry the way. That what it means. And if they are carried away, they won't catch you. So people say, well, you are not Moses. We knew. People are now dead. So he says, be strong and what? Very courageous. Because I'm going to give you instructions that a natural man cannot carry out. Put your feet in water. And when they did, the water stopped midway. Let everyone go on dry ground. Are you ready for such instructions? That's the question. How do you get ready? Be strong. And with a good word, use the scriptures to strengthen your heart. Use the scriptures. You only take steps beyond where you have been before, but you need to be steady. The place where you have put up your business, the highest amount you have ever paid is 700,000. And the offer that is coming your way is for 2.4 million. And your mind cannot think where the funds will come from. And God is telling you, in fact, you are even quenching the spirit. No. What are you talking about? I just said, it is not 2.4 you are going for. You calculated. Your family put together cannot contribute it. Obey will not pay you. You don't see your mind is just like, your mind is missing. Where will I get 2.4? Because 2.4 looks big. Yet, 5 years after, you will tell the story. How God moved you from 700 to 2.4. You will tell the story to every young entrepreneur that comes your way. How God worked. You will not become a source of encouragement. Because the way God will bring you supernatural come to pass, until the last penny is in place, it will be an amazement to you. We serve a good God. We serve a loving Father. Tell your neighbor, fear not. Therefore, be very courageous. He didn't say, because he said, be very courageous. Be not afraid. Don't be confused. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. Stretch the boundaries of your thinking, your imagination. He said to do great things. Stop putting a boundary on limitation. Now, that walk is not God's walk. That walk is your walk. That walk was something Joshua was, because listen carefully, no miracle could happen the same way. No. After they overcame Jordan, they were faced with Jericho. And Jericho, Moses did not encounter Jericho. This is Joshua. But what did Joshua know about the place that Jericho? And I will show us some scriptures. They had faced walled cities before, and God gave them strategies to overcome each city. Only this time around, this strategy was different. There was no city like Jericho before that time. And God gave them, this is the format now. You have followed the written word, which is making you act upon the spoken word. Spoken word. Surround it for 6 days. Everybody, don't say anything. On the seventh day, every shout, and the walls will come down. You need courage to do battle. Because everybody knows walls don't fall by shouting. Yeah, walls don't fall by shouting. Walls don't fall by shouting. Judge Muller, an apostle of faith, and an orphanage. Those are the kind of stories I read that encourage me. There was a time, he said they never ran out of supplies. They were taking over by other children. So one morning, they were out of supplies. And he told the children, I want to show you practical faith. Get plates and cups ready for everybody. There was no food in the pantry. And then he said, let's pray for God to bless the food. You know, you're looking, which food? The place is there, the cup is there. Which food? Let's pray for God to bless. Because they knew their father, how he operates. When they said amen, there was a commotion outside of the orphanage. Please tell me, what is the possibility of a milk truck colliding with a bread truck in front of the orphanage? When he said amen. So we can't take this where we're going, so just take it inside the orphanage. The food they gave thanks for came inside. Fresh bread. Fresh milk. This God. This God. There's no limit to his ways. The limitation is where? In our minds. I'm saying that because of what I've seen concerning 2025. I've seen your income rising. I've seen your own businesses. I've seen 3 times this number of people in this assembly. I've seen 2 services. I've seen it. I've seen it. I've seen the people prosperous, thriving, enriched with God's goodness, sound in the spirit, profiting in every area of life, doing very well, excelling their businesses. I have seen it. He has shown me. What is it telling me? What's telling you? Only be thou strong and very what? Courageous. You're looking out for employment. Be still and know he wants to say some things to you. A new chapter is opening up. The next 10 years, so many jobs that people are doing now will be taken by AI. But there's are some fields that will never be obsolete. And he's setting believers in the right places. Now, he's doing that. That means he wants intercourse, that is fellowship, where he will tell you the secret things he has prepared for you. Your life is not a mistake. No. He knew the economy will fail. He knew. He knew there will be changes. God knew there will be COVID. Yet he calls you being born again out of corruptible seed. But of what? Of incorruptible. Of the word of God that liveth and what? That means there's something in you that's beyond every season. There's something in you that outlives every challenge, every situation. You were fashioned that way. To rise in opposition. To fly in the midst of adversity. You were designed that way. No excuse for failure. No excuse for failure. Your patriarchs that you follow in scripture, they never failed. In famine, Isaac sowed in the same land and reaped the 100-fold. In famine. A Jacob that was about to be swindled was given a vision through the ministry of an angel, and he prospered in the midst of the fraud that they were committing against him. He was being swindled, and yet God will not leave you in their hand. Psalm 37, he will not leave you in their hand. Payments. have, you have not been paid, and you think God is not aware, He is aware. He will not leave you in their hand. He will bring what is due you to you if you stay with the scriptures and you walk with Him. Hallelujah. He's a just God. And He's biased concerning His children. I need you to know that He's biased where His children are concerned. Lift your hands this morning. I say, Father, I thank you. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray. And Father, expand my mind. Expand my consciousness. I refuse to think failure. I will not allow environmental circumstances to limit me. I will not. I will reach beyond what is happening in my environment. There's so much you have planned and prepared for me this season. I will reach beyond what is in my environment. I will prosper in this land. I will prosper. I will do so well. The work of my hands will flourish. In the name of the Lord Jesus. This is my finest hour. This year was designed for people like me. Because you will water me from heaven. And by the ideas and thoughts that come from you, I will move beyond every boundary and every limitation. The ideas that you have given before, I will run with it. I'll become strong and very courageous. I will take the land by storm. I will take the land by storm. I will step out of any on every stocking you have given unto me. I will not allow myself to be caged or to be cornered. No, I will not be intimidated or subdued. I'm of the seed of Christ Jesus. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is victory that overcomes even my faith. That idea that God has placed on your inside, and you are pushing off to the future. Pray and trust Him for steps to take. It's time to take the land. It's time to take the land. Arise, go over this Jordan. Go over the limitation. I have given you the land. That's what He said. The big project that you think will take huge finances, it's time to step out. And God will strengthen you. Have I not commanded thee? That's the commanding word from God. Have not I commanded thee? Only be thou strong and very courageous. I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. That's what He has said. I won't leave you stranded. I won't leave you on your own. I will not leave you on your own. That step you're about to take, I will be there for you. You will not be ashamed. You will not be embarrassed. I will not allow it. For they that put their trust in Him shall never be ashamed. Never be ashamed. Lift up your hands and thank Him. Listen carefully. On the instructions of Jesus, Peter stepped out to walk on water. He was walking. He saw the winds boisterous. He began to sink. Guess what? Jesus did not let him sink. He pulled up his hand. Even if you step out of supposition, it will still come true for you. Still won't abandon you. So what are you afraid of? I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. Somebody says, Pastor, what bite more than what I can chew? It is you that He cannot chew. He can chew it. He will pull you up by the hands. He will never allow you to sink. He's waiting for you on the waters. The same waters you are afraid of. He's waiting for you on the waters. So hold you by the hand so you can walk with Him in glory. He's waiting for you on the waters. He's waiting. This is your season. This is your finest hour. What men call opposition, that is your finest hour as a believer. That's your. This is your finest hour. This is your season. And things will turn around for you. Things will work speedily for you. Mighty things will come your way. I know you thought it would go this way, but I speak to you by the Spirit of God. It is going the way He wants it to go. Yeah. By now I should be in Canada. Don't worry about it. It doesn't mean you are a failure. He has something better prepared. Even Joseph thought, by now I should out of prison. But He came out at the right time. At the right time. When God is working, there's no struggle. There's only supernatural ease. This is your year of the overflow. Every good thing overflows in your direction. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands one more time and give Him thanks.